Hi, it's good to be with you, even if it is via the video camera. A few years ago, there was an advert on the television. It asked you to describe Christmas in three words. They interviewed various people, and these are some of the answers. Someone said Christmas in three words, the Queen's speech. Somebody else said eating too much. Somebody else said last minute shopping. Someone else said easy, more come, and wise. So the suggestions kept on coming, and then the punchline kicked in. Christmas in three words, Marks and Spencer. Marks and Spencer. But how sad if that's all Christmas was, a bit of food and a bit of shopping. Christians, of course, believe there's a whole lot more to Christmas than just food and shopping and celebrations. There's a deeper meaning. Can we communicate that in three words? Well, not really, but one of the names or the titles of Jesus gives us a clue. It's the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which you can spell in Hebrew or Greek, but when you translate it into English, becomes three words. And those three words give us an insight as to the real meaning of Christmas. The first word translated would be the word God. God. Years ago, a little boy was in his front room, missing his dad, who was on a placement overseas with the armed forces. He looked at a photograph on the wall and he looked at his mum and he said, "Mum, wouldn't it be great if dad could step out of that photo and be here with us now?" Mum, of course, agreed, but of course it could never happen. It's impossible. But Christians believe what is impossible for human beings was not impossible for God. God stepped out, not of a photograph, but out of heaven, and in the person of Jesus Christ, entered his creation, entered our world. The Bible puts it this way: the eternal Word became flesh, and he lived among us. God became part of his creation. My favourite Christmas carol is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and my favourite verse says this: veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Great poetry. It simply means God with us. And when you look at Jesus in the Bible says he is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, then you get God demonstrated, illustrated for us in the person of Jesus. So the first word, God. The second word, if you translate the name Emmanuel, is with. With. There's a story told of a little boy whose school was going on a class trip, and they were going to visit a church and have a look around. And the boy had never been to church before. His folks weren't religious. He didn't know what to expect. Well, Dad, over breakfast, kind of tongue-in-cheek, said to him, "When you go to that church, have a good look round. Tell me when you get home later, did you see God?" So the little boy said, "Okay, I'll do my best." And the little boy went and enjoyed his school trip round and enjoyed looking at the pews and the stained glass windows and the font. And later on that night, Dad asked him how it went and he described what he saw. And then Dad, tongue in cheek, said to the boy, "But did you see God?" The little boy thought for a minute and said, "No, but I think I saw his wife doing the hoovering." Now, of course, as I've mentioned already, no one has ever seen God. He's invisible. But the Bible says the invisible God has made himself visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, that is like me holding up a photograph of the invisible man. Humanly, it would be impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And everything you need to know about God the Father is illustrated or demonstrated in God the Son. Does God care? Yes, because Jesus cared. Does God love? Yeah, Jesus loved. Is God holy? Yes, Jesus was holy. Does God forgive sin? Yes, Jesus forgave sin. Everything you want to know about the invisible God has been made visible in and through the person of Jesus Christ. He is with us. Years ago in the 1800s, in the islands of Hawaii, leprosy was a killer disease. We've been shocked with COVID-19. Maybe we'll get a cure. Sadly, people's lives have been taken. But hundreds of years ago, there was a far worse disease called leprosy. And if you were contaminated, you had a death sentence. There was no hope. And the people on the islands of Hawaii decided that anyone with leprosy had to be isolated. And not self-isolating at home, they took them and they put them on one particular island, the island of Molokai. And it was a leprosy colony. And people there were in a hopeless situation, left to die. One young Roman Catholic priest decided he would go to that island and he would bring hope to the hopeless. He arrived with his team and they started to care for the people. They built a hospital, they built a school, they built a clinic. And actually, within the 12 years of his ministry, he built 600 coffins and sadly buried 600 people. Now, Father Damien, whenever he stood up to preach on a Sunday morning, always started his sermon this way: "My dear brethren," meaning, of course, my dear brothers and sisters. But after 12 years of preaching, he shocked everyone by standing up and starting his sermon this way: "My fellow lepers, my fellow lepers." In serving the people of Molokai, the leprosy column, he had caught the disease from those people. And eventually, at age 45, that disease would kill him. He truly was with them in every sense of the word. And when the Bible says God with us, Jesus truly was fully human and fully divine. Two parallel natures in one. Now, don't ask me to explain it in a few minutes. I can't. And what about that third word? God with us. God with us. James Irwin, the American astronaut, said that on one occasion, "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather Christ stood upon this earth. He realized for himself just who Jesus was." Now, why did God become human? Why was God with us? He came, the Bible says, for a reason. That's why he was given another name, the name Jesus, which means rescuer or saviour, because that is humanity's greatest need. Someone put it this way: if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent an entertainer. But because our greatest need is forgiveness, God sent a saviour, a rescuer. And no one is saved through Christmas alone. Christmas had to happen so that the Son of God could enter our world. But the Bible says the way he rescued us, the way he saved us, happened 33 years after Christmas, at that first Easter, when Jesus would give his life. The Bible puts it this way: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He was the offering, the sacrifice, the ransom, not with silver and gold, but through his precious blood. And how do we know he made a payment for sin? By his death. Well, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. God's receipt to the world, the resurrection. And 40 days later, he ascended back to heaven. And Christians believe if he's alive, then he's available. He's only a prayer away if we humbly, repentantly call upon him this Christmas. So can you say Christmas in three words? The name Emmanuel, when translated, gives us a good clue: God with us. Have a happy Christmas and a peaceful and prosperous New Year.